Day of March 2014 on the phone line for this Wednesday afternoon. From Stuart Peterson is Jackie Vakes. He's right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today? Well, tell me about the marketplace and what you saw to begin with, and maybe we can hearken back to what you heard at yesterday's All Day Ag Outlook.
Sure. No question about that. What we saw today was pretty interesting, didn't we? We saw the market actually react to a cancellation of beans from China, something everybody's been waiting for a long time, and actually came about today. And yet at the very same time, we took a dive down maybe 9 to 10 on beans and basically found our way back up to about 2.5 down on the May beans at the end of the day. Not a real deep dive at all, and we saw the same thing come in. You know, wheat was down today, but not a lot. Corn was down today, not a lot. They were actually nothing compared to the livestock market. The livestock market is a wild and crazy place to be when you look at it. We had a $5.425 trading range on April prior to closing at the pit closing at 1 o'clock, and about a $3 range on cattle. And so, you know, that is just crazy. And the reason I bring it up, Todd, is because not only does it make a person aware of how wild things can get, but at the very same time, it shows you what can happen in a market where you have a tremendous amount of outside or speculative money that comes in. It's great on the ride up. It's not so nice on the ride down sometimes. And I believe we've seen the same thing happen in the livestock market today that we've seen happen, let's say, in the March beans when we went up and did the 1452 and just haven't been able to get close to it. Guys throw in their hands when they want to stop making margin calls, and so many times what happens is that's the basic top of the market for the moment, and you have to wonder if that's not the case over in the cattle side of things too, and the hog side. On top of the fact, we haven't seen the hog and the cattle numbers prices get into the retail market until now. We're starting to see a trickle in on the beef side, so we'll have to see once what the consumers have to say about it. And it's going to make for a very tough situation for the retailer, because normally he would shift higher beef prices off onto pork and chicken, but all of those prices are relatively high at the moment. So.
But, Jackie, in the hog market, and we know this to be the case, the tightest supplies are supposed to come when? In April and May, so why top now? Although I think you've got some pretty good reasons for that to be the case.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things we have to understand is that so much of this is perception, and basically a lot of what's already expected to come at that time is built into the market. Am I saying we can't go any higher? Am I saying that this is absolutely the top? Nobody knows that for sure, especially when you're dealing with some outside money. But at the very same time, when you look at a key reversal coming in on the April hogs today, that's technically a pretty weak situation. So we'll see if we have follow-through tomorrow. That'll give us a better idea. The other side of it is everybody's having a heart attack because we're losing hogs, and at the same time, we can still produce the same amount of pork by putting some extra meat on the back of a hog. It's nothing for a producer to put 5 to 10 pounds onto a hog. Believe me, I worked in that industry for a long time. It takes more corn, which is good for the corn producer, but at the same time, it can be done. So the fear of running out of pork, I don't think, is realistic at this stage of the game.
All right. Well, we'll have more to hear about that marketplace as we make it through April and May. And then June, July, and August should be interesting as we get into that time frame where the barbecues come out and people start to think more about meat and putting it outside on the grill.
Well, and you saw, you know, today we saw new contract highs out there, and those contract highs are in the 117s and the 118s. And so the reality is, these are futures prices. These are not prices that really reflect what a farmer is going to get for his hogs. You know, there's a huge basis when you start to see this type of a move in the market. Everybody in the grain market understands basis. It's no different in the hog market. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a $10 to $15 basis come in here somewhere.
Hey, thank you so much, by the way, for coming yesterday to the All Day Ag Outlook and participating up on the corn panel. We appreciate that.
No, I really enjoy it, and I think it's extremely worthwhile. I only wish that we could travel to every state where we raise grain and be able to do the same thing for all those states, because I don't think anybody within our listening area necessarily, not saying they don't appreciate us, but I don't think they know what a gem they have in WILL, because you don't find that in Iowa. You don't find that the further you go into Indiana and Ohio or any of the other states, basically. So thank you guys for everything that you do for the producers and for all of us.
Well, thank you so much. What did you learn yesterday? What was interesting and key? I've got a couple of things that I thought about for a while, and I really appreciated what was set up on stage. But what did you learn?
Well, I think one of the things, of course, is that, you know, farmers are extremely nervous about what's going on. Nobody feels very comfortable with the pricing that we're at. A lot of people are having, you know, seller's remorse from not having made some sales perhaps on the board early on. I think that Jonathan Kappes did a great job on the farm bill. That was an eye-opener to an awful lot of people. And one of the other things that one of my clients shared with me this morning, and, I mean, we all know this, whoever does a job like I do knows that there's a faction of people out there that say they only want you to do something in the market so that they can make money. And the reality is, he said what really drove it home to him was that even though everybody basically was cautioning everyone to take advantage of this wonderful opportunity Mr. Putin has given us because of Ukraine, at the same time, the cash people who have no vested interest in this were saying the same thing. And so to him, what that really said was, you know, everybody is talking about this. This is in the best interest of the individual producer. And from my perspective, Todd, they work way too hard for the equity that they have to just let it slip away because suddenly now we have lower prices. And if we do end up, I just had a farmer who said to me, you know, if we can take a foot out of the frost that we've got out here, we'll be planting. Because he said we'd be happy. He's in the western part of the U.S., but he said we'd be happy to have moisture continuing to come up out of the ground. And I don't doubt that that's very true, too, because some of this is being driven by the thoughts of late planting. So I just think that, in general, it was an outstanding meeting. It was filled with lots of good information. And I think what comes across loud and clear is that people care and that the farmer knows that they care.
You know, you uttered a phrase there that those who don't know exactly what's happening they might misconstrue it. How about this? That you said that Mr. Putin offered up a wonderful opportunity. And so that could be misconstrued in lots of ways. And I want to talk just a bit about the global view of the marketplace and how one side of the planet can have an impact on the other. For instance, there are reasons that Russia in Ukraine creates problems that push the marketplace higher, and it has a direct impact on actually somebody's bottom line right here, and probably somebody you know or may very well know, or you could drive out into the countryside a mile and a half from town and find out.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, that's the one thing I think that sometimes is lost in all the conversation, and it is the reaffirmation that this is a world market. This isn't just a local market. And when you look at the Ukrainian situation, it's tenuous. At best, I do think it might be a little bit overblown at the moment, but at the very same time, last year they were the third largest exporter of corn behind the United States and Brazil. Argentina was somewhat out of the market. Argentina's probably going to come back into the market and compete against us strong this year, but the perception that this market has right now is that we are going to get some of their business. And if this doesn't come to reality, it'll come out of this market. The perception will go away, and we'll see the market sink. And so this is an opportunity that we've been given because of perception more than reality. And so, you know, all of these things are things you have to be prepared for. You've heard me say it so many times already, Todd. You know, if you are someone who is a risk manager, you have to be prepared for whatever the market throws at you. In other words, if you've made sales, you have to be prepared that the market could go higher, and you have to have a strategy. If you're an end user and you've bought grain and the market goes lower, you have to have a strategy. And this is a good example of that. You know, you have a lot of people here who think it can't stop going up. And anytime you have a market that's being driven by Ukrainian news and tremendous amount of fund investment that's just come into the market, that's like standing on quicksand and not expecting to sink. And so you have to really be careful and give yourself some type of a floor.
Thank you for all that you do for us. And we will put videos up from yesterday's meeting. I have seen them. I've got them, actually. It's just a matter of me taking some time, and they need to be cleaned up just a little bit. Not much, meaning I have to cut some, put a head and a tail on it. edit the beginning and the end of it more than anything else.
Okay.
So they'll be up really soon at willag.org, and everybody will be able to get hold of those and take a look at them and watch them.
Okay. All sounds right. really great.
Hey,
thank you, Todd.
All right.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.